The one thing that I think that's been a little surprising is how complex the organization is. It's a large organization with thousands of employees.
So here we are. After a year, you just recently received a review from the school board, which had a supermajority of board members giving you excellent marks and pointing out a few areas of challenge or weaknesses, relatively speaking. What were some of the pieces of constructive criticism in that report that you think are particularly on the mark?
You can never over-communicate something, so maybe a better job of communicating, making sure that people are aware of what I'm thinking and where I'm going, be a little bit more explicit with that.
The other piece of that review from the board, of course, was that there was a minority of school board members who diverged pretty sharply and gave below average marks. How did you interpret that?
Well, first, I think I want to make clear that that whole process for the evaluation was over several weeks. And I think that from the time the process began, which is when that minority group surfaced, to the time that the actual evaluation was completed were very different times. I think that what drove the minority group was maybe a lack of understanding, a lack of trust perhaps still, to a point several weeks later where I believe that I have the full support of all seven members of the board.
You're saying you won over the hearts and minds of these holdouts in those couple of weeks?
I believe so. I believe that there was some real courageous conversations, not only with me, but amongst themselves. And we also had a Saturday board retreat where I think a lot of those things were surfaced, and there was an understanding of how we needed to move forward in a very cohesive group.
When your board's not all on the same page, does it affect the way you do your job? And if so, how?
It absolutely does. I mean, there's no way that it cannot affect the work that you do, which is, again, reason for my taking a very strong stand with the board to say that we need to be able to do that job unimpeded. They have to have trust in the leadership team that what we're doing is in the best interest of the district and our children, ultimately.
Moving on to another test for you was when we had this MAP test upheaval, whereby a lot of teachers declined to administer this district-required test. Looking back on the way that all played out, the way that the district responded at the beginning and the way it kind of walked back, how do you feel like you guys handled that?
I feel that it was handled well. I think there was a little bit of a glitch at the beginning where the perception was that we were coming across very tough and unbending. It was always my intention to have communication with the staff over at Garfield High, and I did that. But ultimately, I think it worked out well. I think that it was, in its entirety, it was approached very thoughtfully in terms of being able to recognize and honor the teachers' viewpoints, but at the same time, making sure that we safeguarded those things that I feel are in support of student learning.
So one of the ways that the district lays out its priorities for future years is through the strategic planning process. And yet, it's sort of one of these things where people's eyes glaze over a little bit. They don't necessarily know what it is. It's got a lot of jargon in it, usually. Can you make me care about the strategic plan?
Our goal was to make sure that it was very usable. It only has three main goals. So we're trying to simplify it, yet make sure that it's very targeted in terms of increasing student achievement, but also really providing opportunity and access for all our students across Seattle Public Schools. So we're very excited.
Because I know the last plan, a number of those strategic goals were not met by the end of the planning period. How do you avoid that this time around?
This one was written with a lot of input from our community, so I'm convinced there's going to be a lot more buy-in for this plan.
What is your biggest fingerprint on that plan? Again, thinking about how this year has formed you as a leader here, how is your vision and your leadership embodied in that strategic plan?
I would sum that up with excellence, equity, access, and opportunity.
The acronym would be something like EOW.
I don't know. Potentially. The equitable access framework, the boundary work, the enrollment work, they're all interlinked. And so you can't really move on one without making sure that you have all those pieces set.
Well, Jose Banda is now at 1 year and 1 month as superintendent of Seattle Public Schools. Thank you so much, Superintendent Banda.
Thank you very much.
Gabriel Spitzer, KPLU News.